It's Wendy Snyder in for Bob Surratt. We go live to Joseph Lindsley, live in Ukraine, editor of Ukrainian Freedom News. Hi, Joseph.
Hello, Wendy. Good Friday afternoon from Kyiv. And yeah, indeed, this song, it sounds happy. It's called Zinevia. I probably will mispronounce it. Zinevia, which means harvesting, from the Ukrainian band Spiv Brativ, which means singing brothers. But behind this cheery tune, with a little bit of that klezmer sound, and it's a song of protest, a wartime song of protest against domestic corruption within Ukraine. And this song was just released today by this band. And, you know, the cheerful tune, I think, really does matter. I think it shows us the great difference between Ukrainian and Russian cultures. And I think I can speak about it because, you know, I've been obviously here in Ukraine every single day of the full-scale invasion. But before I ever came to Ukraine, and when I was in university at Notre Dame, you know, I loved Russian literature. Dostoevsky, the great Russian novelist, was my favorite writer. My favorite classical music was Russian, Rimsky-Korsakov, Rachmaninoff. And, you know, Russian, there was something magnetic to so many of us in the West about Russian culture. You think of people like Henry Kissinger, who just died, who sort of had a fascination with it. Condi Rice, you know, who studied Russian very intensely. And so many others were captivated by it and captivated by this darkness. And, you know, all Russian literature and culture is enveloped in darkness. And I think it's easy to think that darkness implies like depth or profundity. And I think of Dostoevsky's book, Demons, which is about corruption. And it's about a sick mentality of a group of people in the 19th century in a small village. They all thought they were victims. They were driven by madness, and they became terrorists. And Dostoevsky obviously was, you know, diagnosing this sickness in Russian society, but he didn't have humor. He didn't have that jazzy, pleasant, cheerful music. And so in doing so, when you just talk about the darkness, I think, which unfortunately we see a little bit in our American pop culture, in, you know, a lot of the horror movies and you know, the violence in our movies, it ends up sort of glorifying or at least making people afraid of this dark insanity. And I think if you contrast that, for example, with this song, with this klezmery, joyful spirit, because once you hear the words, you realize it comes from a place of anger and frustration, which I do see throughout Ukraine, you know, with politicians, with corruption. But if you can channel that into action with hope, then you won't be despairing. And, you know, you keep your sense of humor. And Dima, the front man of the band, Spiv Brativ, singing brothers, he sent me his translation of these words. So just imagine as you hear that cheerful sound, what the band was singing is sort of from the perspective of a sneaky, corrupt politician. There are many options. There are many schemes how to put money in your pockets. And the city falls asleep and the harvest begins. And in every cabinet or department, swallowing the budget, the year-round harvest, how is the country still alive? And after us, at least the grass does not grow. And I think the message, you know, I think that would resonate with anyone in any country of the world who's frustrated with corruption. But I think the message is, you know, Ukrainians, yeah, I mean, you know, they've been fighting corruption, especially since 2014. Since that revolution of dignity. Now is the war, you know, it's, you know, 22 months of war, that, you know, you start to get back to those battles and realize that, you know, the problems of corruption that are still here. But that's not why they're fighting. Ukrainian people are fighting for freedom, and they have to keep this cheerful spirit. I mean, like, this is a song you would have heard before the full-scale invasion, but it's all the more important now because life and death are really at stake.
Yeah, it certainly didn't sound like a protest song. and you say, Joseph, 22 months this has been going on. This February is going to be 2 years since the invasion into Ukraine. Do you see an end in sight ever?
Well, you know, this is the I think the key point right now. I mean, here it is, as I say, almost every single day. It's extremely cold. It's snowy throughout the country, including here in Kyiv. We had a number of air raid alarms this morning, but no air raids. And it has been, you know, the Russians have not had a major missile attack upon Ukraine since the summer. And Russia is in a spot of weakness. I keep saying it, but it's very important to repeat it. The Black Sea Fleet is on the run, and its operations, the operations of Russia's Navy are gummed up, we can say. And instead, what we're seeing now, and I think this is the consensus as I speak with many Ukrainians who are frustrated, like Russia, with the attention focused on Israel and Hamas, Russia, and I think Russia's realized that, you know, whenever they have a massive attack on a Ukrainian city, the world will empathize with Ukraine, and they want to remove that. They want to get rid of that empathy, because that empathy was the engine that gave, you know, that got the people of democracies around the world to insist that their governments give Ukraine weapons. And when that empathy is not there, as we see now, those weapons do not arrive. And if those weapons don't arrive, then Ukrainians can't fight back. Russians can continue to bleed them out. And so I think what we really need to pay attention to is the subtle strategy of propaganda and how Russia might even be trying to divide people in Ukraine, precisely on the topic of corruption. So the world not only gets bored, but says, oh, we don't want to deal with that mess. And on this score today, I think pretty extraordinary and bizarre thing. The previous president of Ukraine, Petro Poroshenko, he was the president before Zelensky. By the way, Ukraine, unlike almost every former Soviet country, has a new president with every election, because the Ukrainian people always like to change their politicians. But President Poroshenko was on the way today to leave Ukraine. He had permission to do so, to go speak at a conference in Washington, D.C., with members of Congress, with former prime ministers of the UK and Australia. And the border guards prevented him from leaving, even though he had a letter from the Speaker of Ukraine's parliament. This is very bizarre. You know, how could the previous president be prevented from leaving? What's going on there? Then we also have, a couple months ago, that sort of strange timing of the story about President Zelensky in Time magazine, written by the way, by a guy who used to live in Moscow. A lot of people don't trust this reporter that wrote the Time story about Zelensky. And then you had a week later, the commander in chief, Zeluzhny, was interviewed in The Economist, and that's where they kept pushing this word stalemate. There's a lot of weird things going on the propaganda level. And I think when I talk with every Ukrainian here, you know, they don't love their politicians, but they think there's something deeper at play, trying to make the world just confused and not want to care about Ukraine. And so that's why I thought it was appropriate to play that song today, because that gets heavy. But this is the spirit here. Even with this heaviness, you got to keep singing and be cheerful in order to keep fighting.
Words to live by. Joseph Lindsley, live from Ukraine. You can check out UkrainianFreedomNews.com. Have a good weekend, a safe weekend, and we'll talk to you on Monday.
Wendy, until Monday, have a good weekend.
You as well.